topic today, our workshop is emotional and spiritual crisis. And here we have Tony is going to come up and share his experience right now with us.
Hey, family, my name is Tony. I'm an addict. And wow, I'm humbled. Just want to really thank the committee for asking me to come out and share this workshop with you guys. It's kind of interesting how this began because they were looking at me sharing another workshop, and they were. I have a daughter that's sitting next to me, y'all. This is my daughter, yeah. Margie. And they were looking at her doing a different workshop, and they were trying to work that out, and then they realized that we were father and daughter, and they, why don't y'all share together? Let's just try that out. We don't have that. We don't see that too often. You know, I've known some fellows in the fellowship, you know, where their daughter's been in the room, so it's not unusual that family members can get clean, but I'm so blessed that my child is sitting here, you know? You know, truly. And it wasn't too long ago, I was able to share this convention in 2014, and this was just right after I had a major surgery for stomach aneurysm. Now, if any of you guys were here, you remember me sharing that story. And, and here's several years later, and I'm back here again, and I'm just amazed at how God's been, what he's brought me through and our family through during this period of time. Well, you know, when they gave me this topic to prepare for it, I don't do anything. I've heard people say they practice it in their mind, they go over what they're going to say, and you know what? Every time I think of the topic, I look at it, and I was like, I'm not even going to go upstairs. I'm not even going to go upstairs because I just wouldn't know how to prepare for something like this, you know? What I do know is before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, my life was, let me back it up. I want to just say something about the main speaker tonight because I was so, I really love her share tonight. And it reminded me of a lot of the stuff that I went through and before I got here, you know, and after I got here. And a lot of things that I heard and I took heed to. Some things you can learn from listening to someone else's experience, and sometimes we just got to go through our own and figure it out, you know. And she talked about her childhood, and my childhood was such that my dad was a minister, and he was undiagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. He was real sick, you know. He preached to these large congregations, man, but behind closed doors, this man, he was sick. You know, we suffered from physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. And, it's kind of interesting because as I've been in recovery, and I've talked to my daughter about she knows my history. You know, my daughter and my son, they both know my history. And my siblings, too. I mean, it's amazing how much stuff I've find that I've shared with my children because of this program, right? And and I don't know where this is going to go. I'm just going to kind of let it go wherever it's going to go, okay? And I know we have taken a trip. I brought her around some family members of mine when I was going out to visit them. And I remember my brother was so anxious to get her alone so he could talk to her and find out what she knew and tell her whatever he was going to tell her. You know, and when she got back with me, she said, well, Dad, your brothers never said that they were molested or nothing, and you said that you were, but they said that you weren't. And we went through all this, and I said, baby, there's a lot of stuff I don't remember. You know, so there was molestation in our house, but there's a lot of stuff that I didn't remember. Because, and I still don't remember to this day. It's kind of crazy, but that whole process of what I went through in my childhood had me twisted when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. When I got here and they start talking about a God, man, the God that I saw was this man that was sneaking down the hallway trying to get to my sister's room, you know? Mm-hmm. And the God I saw was, if I believed in this man, this power, then maybe I'd be just like him, you know? And I was scared of God, man. I didn't want to have nothing to do with him when I got here. I need to tell y'all, I was more like him than I wasn't. And that scared me even more, and I hated myself. And before I even came to Narcotics Anonymous, I truly believed that I needed to be in a nut house, or I needed to be locked down, but I couldn't live life like other people did. I couldn't do it. And it's interesting, them same brothers and sisters I talked to, at least my brothers, you know, we were having this conversation one day, and they said, hey, when we get a certain age, we're going to all be like Dad. And I was like, hell no. No. There's got to be a solution. There's got to be an answer. And I said, I'm not going to be like him. I'm going to do whatever I got to do not to be like him. And I'm telling you, because of this program, man, and doing a lot, it's a lot of work, man. You know, a lot of outside help, too. You know, I feel like I have a chance at being not like him. Still more like him than not, but being a better person, shall we say. It's like this is going all over the place, but like I said, I'm going to let it come out the way it's going to come out, because that's been my struggle through recovery. And I'm probably going to share some stuff she ain't even heard me share before, right? Because when she was born, I was so afraid of what I felt inside that I didn't want to be there because she was a girl. You know, and it frightened me because I knew my history. I knew my family's history. And of course, the relationship didn't last with me and her mom. But there's a lot of reasons behind that, probably more so that I was using drugs more than anything else. I think that had a whole lot to do with it. But I wanted to run, and my MO has always been to run away from shit when stuff wasn't going the way Tony thought I should go, or when he was afraid. You know, I was full of fear. And when you're not using, that fear comes to the surface. So, but the blessing is, you know, I've been able to have a wonderful relationship with my child before she got here, because I actually, when I came to this area, I came in this area in 88, early, I don't remember what month it was in 88, and I got clean in October of 88. I call that my clean date. So I separated from her, from her mother several months after we got to Washington, D.C. But I've stayed clean ever since then, so I'm like 28 years clean, and she's she's turning 30, she turned 30 years old, so she's 30, you know, so... She's never really seen me high. I want to say that. Someone has asked me earlier, they're saying, well, yeah, I've heard about those relationships with the daughters and fathers getting high with their children, and I never got high with my daughter. You know, she's never seen me high. She's come to meetings with me, you know, and, you know, she's sitting in meetings, and she was a good child because she's sitting color for people and hand out color and stuff, you know, like that. And she actually, I actually took her to smoky rooms where, you know, we spoke back in the day. Yeah, we were smoking in the rooms and stuff. Guys, I'm going to back it up again a little bit because, you know, this is talking about emotional and spiritual emotional and spiritual crisis. And I've had my share of them in here. I've had my share before I got here. I've had my share since I've been here. And, you know, I was talking about that relationship with my dad, my family, with God, you know, and it was a struggle in the beginning. It was a struggle to let go of the old ideas of how I saw God and to try to find a God of my understanding instead of my mom's understanding or my dad's understanding or the church that I grew up in understanding. And that was tough, but, you know, I saw it. I saw it out, man. I came to a lot of meetings. I went to a lot of meetings, you know. I talked to a lot of people, man, in search of this higher power, you know, this God of my understanding. But I also had God reveal himself to me in a lot of ways. There was a lot of things that happened when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and even before I got here, that people told me to take a look at where this power was working in your life, even before you got here, which helped me to come to believe. But even through all this process, you know, one of the things that I understand today, I kind of always understood, but it's a process. So it's not an event. It's not a, you know, don't try and race for it, because you're only where you are where you are. I mean, I work toward it. One of the things my sponsor had told me, he says, Tony, you're going to need to let your dad off the hook. You're going to need to you're going to need to come to forgive him for what happened in our home and how we were raised. And it's kind of funny. The speaker tonight, she says, she got some good things from her mom. I heard her say that. You know, she got some good stuff from her upbringing. And I look back and I say, well, you know what? I got some good things from my upbringing, too. You know, I wasn't the dumbest kid out there. I had a little bit of sense. So I had got some good stuff out of that. And I had to take a different twist and look at it differently than out of the eyes of an angry child. And I had to look at, you know, how flawed I was. Because I was flawed. There's no doubt about it. You know, I had a lot of shortcomings. And I caused my family a lot of pain, because when I couldn't deal with what was going on at home, I was in the streets all the time. I ran, you know, and so I went through a lot of prayer, praying for my dad. And it was only at 20 years recovery that I was able to let him off the hook, man, and come to forgive this man for what happened, what took place. And then, you know, I'm going to tell you all the story. A couple of my home group members know the story, but I want to share this with you, because we were having a family reunion back in Colorado, because my family's all over the country, right? I heard that my dad was going to be at that family reunion. Now, I've been in recovery 20 years, and my brothers would call me on the phone, and they'd try to get me to talk to my dad. And if I heard his voice, it would completely tear me up. I'd be in total tears and fucked up and angry I'd be like that for several days, right? And I'm calling, talking to my spouse, and I'm talking about the meetings, because it just fucked me up. And here I'm planning on going to this family reunion, and he's going to be there. And I haven't seen him 20 years clean. I ain't seen him. Don't want to see him. Had convinced myself I ain't got to have a relationship with this man. And I came into meetings, and I shared that stuff with y'all. I talked about it, trying to prepare myself to go down here to see this man. And so the day came, and I went down there to the family reunion, and guess what? He didn't even show up. I was so pissed. I get there, and he ain't even there. I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready. But I really wasn't really ready. I don't feel like I was really, truly. I mean, I was trying to walk through the fear, you know. When I remember when I came back home, something happened. That willingness that was inside of me to just confront my fear, when I came back home, I felt a freedom. And I heard her talk about that freedom in the night when she sat outside her mom's bed and she had the conversation or the phone call or however it went down. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm okay. I felt okay. I felt all right. I felt like something had been lifted. You know, and so I turned around and I said, I'm going back. And I made an appointment. I said, it doesn't have to be about a family reunion. I'm going back and I'm going to go see him. And I made arrangements to go back down there and I saw him one-on-one. And I was free to do that. The little child, for whatever reason, was lifted up, had just let it go. You know, and I found a lot of freedom in that man. For the next few years, I was able to be there with him, go back and visit him several times, and as an adult, not as a child, with forgiveness, with love, and was able to be there when he transitioned, when he passed, you know, that was just amazing. I just kind of wanted to share that journey with you guys, because it was amazing to me that I finally could let this man off the hook. One thing my sponsor used to tell me all the time, he says, man, anger, man, and I knew it, anger kill you, man. Can't hold on to that resentment. We can't afford to, not as addicts. You know, I look back even further, before all of this, and don't even know if I want to go there down this road, but I'm going to go down this road anyway. I was thinking about earlier in recovery when I was thinking back when my family were together and a decision that I made, because like I said, I used to run away. They used to take me home. They used to grab me, lock me up, and try and get me to come back home, and I wouldn't want to go back home, and they try to find out, well, why don't you want to go home, and they sent me with counselors, and I wouldn't tell them nothing, and one day they sent me back home, and I remember my dad had all of us, and he took us across the border to Mexico, right, and I swore I thought he was going to kill us that night. I swore, he terrorized us that night, man, and I remember that next day, I went to school, and I told somebody. For the first time, somebody in my family told somebody some shit, right? And they must have approached the man, and he nutted up, and he went into his first nut house, right? And my mom was able to get away from him. And so here it is. I'm about 4 years clean, 4 or 5 years clean, and I'm visiting with my family in Colorado. And my mom's there, my brothers and sisters there, and we're sitting there, we're talking about the past. And I told them, I said, well, you know what? I'm the one that told on dad, right? Because nobody knew. Nobody knew what happened. And my mom looked at me, she says, you know, he was gonna kill us that night. He had his gun, and she talked that man into taking us back home. She talked him down, man, and she said, you did the right thing. Because I carried it for a long time thinking, there's a part of me that felt like I betrayed him, but there was another part of me that felt like, you saved your life, man. Because I had an older brother that couldn't do that, man, and he killed himself. He couldn't take what was going on in our home, and he shot himself. And, you know, so
We understand.
It's kind of like the process of the emotional, the spirit, the shit you go through in here, man. When you start waking up and dealing with the past and dealing with the present, because that stuff has effect on you now. It had effect on me now, with my relationships now. That's the stuff I need to address in order to have healthy relationships as I look at it. I told you all about my daughter and why I didn't want to be in her life, and I had a daughter before her. And I was still, even before her, I was afraid, y'all. And I was in active addiction, and I walked out on them right after the child was born because I was so afraid what might happen. I left her. I just met this child 2 years ago. I had wanted to a long time as I've heard other people going out and reaching out and finding their children. I abandoned this child because of fear, you know, because I'm afraid of what an addict would do. And this child, when I finally reached out to her, she said, Dad, I've been looking for you for, she had been looking for me for years. Wanted to know who her daddy was. And being in recovery for the years I had been in recovery, and I'm thinking, God, I wonder what she's like, and I know she probably wants to know who her dad is. And when I reached out to her a couple years ago, y'all, and went down. She lives in France. She actually lives in France now. She's working over in France, and she was coming home. I got a hold of her in probably like in July of August of 2015. That's 2 years ago. And she was coming home to visit her parents, her mom and her stepdad in California. And I was able to fly out there and meet her. And wow, and my wife put together all these pictures and stuff of all the family members, her brothers and sisters, and man, it was a really special occasion. It was very touching, very loving. And she didn't appear to have any ill will toward me, just glad to know who her dad was. You know what I mean? And I thought, God, all the lost years that I've had because of fear that kept me from reaching out to her sooner. So, it's been, this has been a journey. It's been a great journey. It's been an uncomfortable journey. At times, it's been a painful journey. But I love every step that I've taken through it. I love where, you know, I'm going to say this. The first meeting I went to when I got to this area, I remember a guy saying, he introduced himself and he said he was a reasonably happy man. And I thought he was so full of caca. You know, and today, man, I can say I'm a reasonably happy man. And Narcotics Anonymous is what grew me up. Narcotics Anonymous is what helped me become the man that I am today. And a result of that, when my daughter was ready to find the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, her dad was here and knew how to not push her away and allow her to have a chance of freedom that we're experiencing today. So guys, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak at this convention and to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I know I probably sounded a little scattered, and I don't know, but it came out the way it's supposed to come out, I guess. And I just thank you guys much. Thank you.